I loved the emotional rush of being scared. I still do, of course. I don't go out much to haunted houses, but I still love good, old-fashioned, scary stories.
Listener discretion is advised.
A listener note, this episode contains adult content and is not suitable for everyone. Please be advised.
During my years as a radio host in San Francisco, I got to know a crime reporter named Henry Lee very well. He had established quite the reputation as the definitive voice on the crime beat in the Bay Area. I recently watched the Netflix docuseries American Nightmare, which details the kidnapping of Denise Huskins, a truly strange case that was treated as a hoax by the police. Henry Lee not only covered the case, but was pulled into the investigation by the kidnapper, Matthew Mueller, himself, who used Henry as a conduit to relay information to the police and the public. In this episode of Headlines, we will speak with Henry about how he became involved in the case and his experience of not just reporting the crime, but becoming part of the story. Here is our headline today, courtesy of KCRA 3 Sacramento.
The Netflix series American Nightmare will tell the story of Denise Huskins. You might remember Huskins was kidnapped from her home in March of 2015 and sexually abused before she was released 2 days later. At the time, though, Vallejo police called the whole case a hoax. That is until Matthew Mueller was arrested and charged with her abduction. Mueller pleaded guilty and is currently serving a 40-year prison sentence.
Today, we are talking with Henry Lee about his involvement in the Denise Huskins kidnapping.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
Henry Lee, it has been such a long time. How are you?
Not too bad, Candace. Good to see you. Always nice to talk to you.
Just before I left San Francisco, there was an astounding, really, really unusual case that was happening, and it recently has been the subject of a Netflix miniseries, 3 episodes, I believe, and there you were. And it is the story of Denise Huskins and her boyfriend at the time, Aaron Quinn. Tell us briefly what the story was about.
Well, on its face, Aaron Quinn reported that, an intruder came into their home in Vallejo, California. He was dressed all in black, invaded their home, put blacked out goggles on both their eyes, and covered their ears with a headset that was playing pre-recorded music. He said that he was there, that he's going to make them drink some NyQuil and some medication, make them sleepy. And essentially, he was going to kidnap Denise. He was told by the kidnapper, if you call police, I will know, because I've got a camera trained on you. And if that happens, if you call police, there's going to be harm done to Denise. So he waited overnight until calling the police, and the police dispatcher, we hear, saying, you wait until now to call police instead of yesterday when this happened.
And as I recall, the reason there was such a delay from the time of the home invasion and his call was because he said he was drugged.
Right. That, the combination of being drugged and the combination of being zip-tied worked against him. And that really raised suspicions, like he was very calm when he talked to the police. It's just matter-of-fact recitation that my girlfriend was kidnapped last night, and you know, that didn't work in his favor with Vallejo police.
Were the police providing any information to the media at that time at the scene?
No. At one point, I got this email with an attachment. It had a woman's voice. It said, "I am Denise Huskins. I've been kidnapped, but otherwise, I'm fine." And so I get this, and I'm thinking, this has to be a hoax, because who would, in their right mind, send me something
it's crazy.
As serious as this? I'm looking around. I'm in the neighborhood. I'm thinking it's one of my reporter colleagues playing a prank on me.
Why do you think, and I'm sure you've asked yourself this question, why do you think the kidnapper reached out to you rather than the Vallejo police?
Well, that's a good question. I think he wanted me to be a conduit. I was one of the first reporters who posted the story early that morning, the night after she was kidnapped. And I think he wanted a public platform, because if he just sent it to Vallejo police, it becomes a single source recipient with no one out in the world would be able to tell what happened. I know that when the Vallejo police get information, they're going to keep it close to their chest. But he knows, and I know, that when we in the media get something very specific, very unusual like this, we want to take action. We want to do it and share with the world what we know.
At the time, you were a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, and you turned over the proof of life recording to them. Is that correct?
Right. After much deliberation, very quick deliberation, I knew and my editors knew that if this was her, this was evidence that needed to be forwarded immediately to the Vallejo Police Department, because a woman's life is at stake.
So, Henry, tell us about the initial contact you had with the police regarding the proof of life clip.
I asked if they could confirm whether this was indeed Denise Huskins. We want to make sure we're accurate, not that we're forwarding any pranks or not. And clearly, I never got a response either way, whether this was her or not, officially. We didn't know it at the time, but we learned later that Aaron and Denise's father all heard the voice and immediately recognized her voice.
In the Netflix special, it appears that, well, quite clearly, Denise and Aaron were very sympathetic figures, but the police did not believe a single word. There is a video of Aaron being interviewed by a detective, and the detective accuses him of killing his girlfriend, Denise, and covering it up. And now he's at the police covering his tracks, reporting her missing.
Correct. And we see, and I never saw any of the specifics of this interrogation until the docuseries comes out. Obviously, you and I know, Candace, that he was out there to try to get him to confess, because he thought, you know, this cockamamie story of people in wetsuits with laser beams and, you know, bright lights doesn't seem to add up. He's making this all up to cover up a murder.
And it happened to occur at a time when the hottest movie in the country was showing, and that was Gone Girl. And in that movie, the wife stages her own murder to frame her husband, and she's gone. And so that movie was on people's minds, and there was a quantum leap to judgment that, oh, this must be a Gone Girl issue. That's what's going on here.
So the investigators even brought this up to Denise and Aaron's attorneys. Haven't you seen Gone Girl? And they were flabbergasted. How are they comparing this real-life tragic ordeal with a fictionalized movie that's out in theaters starring Ben Affleck? They were just flabbergasted. So after she was released, I then got a series of emails and manifestos from someone claiming to be the kidnapper saying, no, you need to believe Denise. We kidnapped her. We did it. It was essentially a confession saying Vallejo police ought to be ashamed of themselves for not believing a crime victim. So this is probably one of the first and only times where you have someone admitting to a serious felony and saying, you need to believe the victim. Police, you're wrong.
You mentioned Denise and Aaron do not believe that Matthew, that we know is the offender, authored the emails. Why is that?
Well, they still believe that there's more than one offender. They point to sounds they heard, unmistakable sounds of other people moving around their house in Vallejo when this happened. But keep in mind, you know, the investigators, the U.S. attorney, the FBI, believe that he acted alone. We now know that Matthew Mueller was accused of pulling off other similar incidents in Dublin and was suspected of other invasions in Mountain View and Palo Alto, where he acted alone. We now know that the FBI seized recordings in which you can hear people whispering in the background to make it look as if there's other people involved. And we now know there was a blow-up doll that they found in South Lake Tahoe, you know, a dummy made up to look like a person. So it's very possible that that was what they perceived, but they are adamant that there are other bad actors out there.
In the documentary, you said that you regretted your involvement in the case. Why is that?
Well, you have to look at their initial press conference where they stood silently with their attorneys. You could see through their silence that they'd gone through a horrific ordeal. We, the media, they believe we're complicit in not believing them and that just we were just parroting the police version of events. And so in my 20, 25, 30 years of reporting, we are usually of the mindset that if police say something happened, then that happened. If they say it didn't happen, then it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we do have a duty to report what people say. But we ought to do a little bit more and see if what they say is the truth or if it's truthiness, so to speak, if there's some level of truth or difference in opinion there.
Is there anything that you wish you had done differently?
You know, I know that Denise and Aaron think that a lot of people in the media should have done more to dig. When I got that manifesto, there was a lot of talk about surveillance, you know, breaking into homes, using drones. You know, they use the term we a lot. You know, we did this, we did that. We're college graduates. We're gentlemen criminals, kind of like an Ocean's 11 group. The media doesn't have separate investigative powers to go investigate and find, let's say, a peeping Tom. We can certainly interview people about it. We can interview witnesses, victims, potential suspects. But we can't go out and arrest the perpetrator. We can't find the offender and say, oh, you did it. Now you're going to jail. But that's not to say there have not been lessons learned. We have learned quite a lot from this case on the media end, which is not just report what they say, but to make sure that we look at all ends of the question, see if there is tunnel vision, if there is confirmation bias, or if there's some other angle or theory that could also be true.
Well, I think if there's nothing else we can learn from this case, it is things are not always as they seem. This case was screwy start to finish, and yet Denise and Aaron were telling the truth.
Absolutely. We now know everything they said happened, no matter how far-fetched it seemed. It all happened.
What did you think about the documentary and how they treated this case?
I think they did a phenomenal job. I was very impressed with a lot of the original recordings that they obtained. I never saw what Andrea Roberts looked like until now that they talked to a woman named Tracy, who was a purported victim of Matthew Mueller. They did a phenomenal job. It was very moving. They also talked to that Dublin detective who broke the case wide open. If it wasn't for her connecting Matthew Mueller with Denise, we heard Denise and Aaron have no idea what could have been done, that they could have been branded liars forever and charged as such with lying to the FBI. So hats off to the Dublin police detective, who's now a lieutenant. She just got promoted to lieutenant, for putting all the dots together.
Yes, absolutely. Hats off.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.